are listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys watch their way through Sex and the City for the first time ever, mostly. My name is Corey Cavan.
My name's Kevin James Doyle.
And I am obviously Nick Lachey.
Oh, it's so good to have you here, Nick.
On the podcast today, we have the man himself. You know him from the barbed wire tattoo he has around his arm. Nick Lachey, everybody.
Of co-hosting Love is Blind.
That's where Nick Lachey. You know, he, every single time he introduced himself, he said, I am obviously Nick Lachey. And I thought to myself, what level of celebrity do you get to be before you're obviously that person?
I have to say, like, I brain fart so much with celebrities that had he not said that, I would have been like, wait, is that Nick Lachey?
Hey,
I would have been like, oh, that dude was in NSYNC, right? Like, I would have gotten it wrong.
Yeah, I have no idea where he came from. He's obviously Nick Lachey.
I have some bad news for Nick Lachey. There's a lot of people that are really good with celebrities that would have had the same problem you did. There are some very adept celebrity watchers. I didn't know he was on that.
Oh, have you not seen it? Love is Blind? Or Blind no. Love? Whatever. Love is Blind? Something like that?
Love is Blind.
No. Yeah. I don't know. You can have fun watching Love is Blind and try not to come on Netflix. I've been watching art films, John.
Oh, cool. Such as, what'd you watch last night?
Portrait of a Lady on Fire and Raging Bull.
Wait, that was not last night. That was two nights ago.
Last night we watched Good Boys.
A
nice, beautiful art film where they slap each other with dildos.
You know, Good Boys. It's the sequel to The Red Balloon, the French film, The Red Balloon, about a little boy that walks a balloon around Paris.
Kevin, why don't you climb off of your ivory tower for a second and meet us back down here, okay?
Good Boys is a sequel to the French film, The 400 Blows, but it's just The 400 Blows taken in the innuendo form. That's what it is.
You guys can call it Good Boys. I call it Les Boys de Good.
Boys de Good.
Listen, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are big Love is Blinders. And what's that other one?
Le garçon de bon. Le bon garçon.
Too hot to handle. I was down with Love is Blind. I could watch Love is Blind.
Oh, yeah.
It was fine. Too Hot to Handle was another one that we recently put on in our household. I couldn't get behind it. Yeah. I mean, I watched it all, but it was very hard to get into that.
For the other listeners who haven't watched it, they've probably watched it. What is Too Hot to Handle about?
So Love is Blind is where they fall in love with each other without seeing each other, which is an interesting concept, I guess. Too Hot to Handle is like a bunch of super attractive bros and ladies go to an island and they win $100,000 if they don't have sex. And it's like the hardest thing in the world for them to like not touch each other in 5 minutes.
Like, fuck, it's the only thing I'm good at.
It's like,
shit.
I know it's a temptation, but it's $100,000. Just keep it in your pants.
But also, don't you feel like, I mean, maybe it's just because there's so many reality shows now, but like that is such a Austin Powers $1 million thing where you're like, $100,000, dude, that after taxes, you're bringing home like 65.
Yeah.
you're bringing home like a pretty good salary, but it's like, yeah, man. I mean, it's not that much. Dude, it's not like it's the most insane prize ever.
If Corey's on Too Hot to Handle season two, I know not to put my money on it. It's going to be day two. He's like, that's not enough money. I'm fucking.
I was like, yeah, here's the deal. You, me and the three, like, let's us four all just go hook up together, spin off and start a side business. I guarantee you we'll turn 200 in the first 6 months. Come on, let's just do it.
That would be really interesting if they got people that were hot enough and smart enough that they could be like, let's have an orgy and then develop an app that everyone needs. And then they just make like $1 billion.
Yeah.
They basically just start an OnlyFans and then just stream it during the show and then make all the money. That's what they do.
I mean, it was really interesting because they, you have to cast that show the right way. You have to find people who literally can see $100,000 disappear just to make out with someone. Cause if they do anything, they lose a bunch of money. And so it's like this, the Samanthas, like she'd be like, oh, I don't care about that. I'm turned on. I want to hook up with this person.
Yeah.
But then it's like me watching it, I guess, as a Charlotte, I'm just like, really, really? Like you can't go that long for $100,000. It's, I don't know. It's crazy.
It's like a drawn out version of the Seinfeld master of your domain conversation. That's,
they made that show. The person who created that show got it from the Seinfeld episode.
Is that true?
It's true. If, according to Wikipedia, which where all things are true.
That's incredible. That's amazing.
Wikipedia is the most truthful place on the internet.
R.I.P. Jerry Stiller.
Yeah. Today. Rest in peace, Jerry Stiller.
Rest in peace, Jerry Stiller. Yeah.
He would have been a great character on Sex and the City. Who would Jerry Stiller have been on Sex and the City?
Oh, what?
Maybe he'd be Harry Goldenblatt's Harry Goldenblatt's dad. I mean,
Jerry Goldenblatt.
Jerry Goldenblatt.
He would have been Jerry Goldenblatt. Yeah,
Harry!
Totally.
Instead of what Jerry, he just says Harry.
Harry, you gotta wipe the cream cheese off your face. You got a schmear on your face. You schmeared the schmear.
You gotta clean it up. Dude, there is nothing funnier than...
You don't wax your back before you go to a shirtless wedding. What are you thinking?
Oh.
We, Jerry Goldenblatt. Us Goldenblatts, we've always had hair on our back, and we always will. She'll accept you, or she won't. Okay?
Well, I'm not familiar with him prior to... Kevin's bouncing out a little bit. You back, Kev?
Guys, we're back. Am I back?
You're back. As if you're listening to this and you're not watching it, you know that we're recording this thing through Zoom, like the rest of all the business meetings happening. So sometimes we get a little lag. Yeah. But we're figuring it out. We're doing our best. You guys have been there. You're all there now.
What else is going on? What's happening in the world?
Let's go. What's happening with the pod?
What's going on with the pod?
We did Sex and the City trivia this past week. Me and Corey did.
Yeah.
With Amy and Gwened. It was super fun.
Mm-hmm. Super fun.
What was the hardest question that was asked?
The hardest question asked of me, I want to say first because Kevin did way better than I did. The hardest thing of me was that they would basically show you a guy and they'd be like, who is this?
Ooh.
And the one that was really tough for me was the guy who swears at Charlotte when he has sex with her.
Yeah.
Seeing him, they showed me him at dinner with her and it just looked like a dude in a suit.
Yeah,
and
even
everyone in the chat was like, ooh, that's a tough one.
Did everyone in the chat know it?
Not everyone. A few people did.
Everyone in the chat was roasting. It's so intimidating to see your heckles. I was like, oh, people are like, fucking come on, Kevin. I'm like, I'm trying to honest again.
What was the hardest one you got, Kevin?
A picture of Kim Cattrall. He's like, I'm not sure.
I think that's Anthony. I don't know.
Well, you know, I thought I had lost because I thought it was just too hot to handle. And the second they showed me a picture of one of the girls, I came and I was like, oops, I lost. And they're like, no, it's just trivia.
Perfect.
Which, yeah.
You guys froze.
You're just like
during my did you hear my stupid joke?
I heard it. I did hear it, but I got it. I think.
Wow, I've never bombed so hard in my life.
Welcome to every Zoom comedy show and Instagram Live comedy show in quarantine. Yeah. That's every single
already, one. Already, it lagged. It lagged to ruin the punchline of an already not funny joke. It's like, all right, I'm going to quit the pod.
Maybe when people listen to it on the pod, they'll think it's really funny. Maybe it'll have two negatives will make it positive type situation. Yeah.
Hey, will you guys send in an encouraging messages to the Instagram? Just about how you please? No. I got one. I lucked out because one of them was the Catholic playwright who showers after sex, which is very much very, very Kevin-centric, very Kevin guy. And then I got him. I also got Chip Kil. I didn't get Chip Kilkenny. I forget.
I got Chip Kilkenny. He was the last guy that I had.
I mean, I think they did attractive it because man. It was inspired by March Bradness. That's why they did mm-hmm. our rounds that way. But boy, because of March Bradness, like that helped my education so much. So it was much easier because of that. Now,
I was going to say, speaking of Chip Kilkenny, we just finished season 6, episode 1, the episode that Chip Kilkenny's in.
What if that's the spinoff podcast of our friends, speaking of Carrie, and they did another one, speaking of Chip Kilkenny.
Let's go to his white collar prison cell. Oh, it looks like he's playing cards with Bernie Madoff. That's
oh wow. Oh my goodness.
It looks like he's having fun. So we're actually plowing right ahead. Season 6, episode 2. What's what do we have for what do we have today? What's the name of it?
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, the last one, it ended with Carrie meeting Berger for a movie and being like, oh my gosh, what if he sees me?
And seeing Tater Tot.
Seeing Tater Tot, which was not...
Yeah, who we learned is not SJP's actual son.
Dude, we need to do a... You know what we need to do is we need to do a mix-up gif of Jerry Springer. Just being like, Carrie, you are not the mother.
I was trying to think of that to do a post about that, and then it took me like 5 minutes. I was like, that is so weird. They never do not the mother on that. They always do the it's a little easier to figure out.
I love that it took you 5 minutes though. You're just like, I wonder, that seems unfair.
That's just another example of male centric casting.
Yeah.
They always are. So that happened. Okay, go ahead. What's it called?
It's called Great Sexpectations, which I don't know what it's about, but I have heard people talk about this episode, maybe just because of the title, Great Sexpectations. I think it's just going to be, is it Dickens? Did Dickens write this episode?
You know how they do, and like Family Matters and stuff, they'll do one that's like Christmas and it'll be like literally just a production of like A Christmas Carol or something. There's like no logic to it. That'd be awesome if like all of them have top hats and they're just like, hello, my lady. This isn't New York City. This is foggy old London town. Great Sexpectations.
Should we dig in?
Samantha met a guy named Big Ben, and you know why he was named Big Ben.
Because he had
his
a large
cock. Comes every hour.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, besides expectations of sex and Charles Dickens, I mean, I feel like we already covered it right there. What's the over under? Do you think there's a Charles Dickens reference? Yes or no?
I feel like there's got to be.
I think there's an orphan. There's going to be an orphan in it somewhere.
I think there's not a Charles Dickens reference, but I think there's a pun on Scrooge and Screw.
That's a good prediction.
I think it's going to be a Scrooge.
I think
the ghost of Christmas ass. That's coming in too.
Yeah, I've been with a few Tiny Tims.
We just wrote it. All right.
Alrighty. Let's go watch this episode and we'll come back and we'll chat about it.
Bye.
Bye.
Episode 76. Great Sexpectations. Carrie and Berger's date sizzles in the restaurants, but fizzles in the bedroom. Miranda becomes addicted to a British show featuring an interracial romance. A tenacious Charlotte pursues converting to Judaism for Harry. Samantha and the girls go to a cold food restaurant where Samantha meets hot waiter, Jerry Jarrett. And now, back to the boys.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Welcome back.
Wow. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
You guys, I thought of a really good pun about Charles Dickens that I missed because my brain was working slow, but it's David Copperfield.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I know.
David Copperfield.
I know. It was a little bit too late, but come on. It's a pretty good one.
A Tale of Two Titties.
See, that was good. That's good. You probably didn't even spend time thinking about that, did you?
What other books did he write?
He didn't write A Christmas Story. Never mind. That came out in like the 80s.
He did.
A Christmas Carol.
Did he write Christmas Story or Christmas Carol?
I don't know the difference. I don't think there is a difference.
That's the BB gun.
Yeah. You'll shoot your eye out. Great Expectations.
Great Expectations. He did not write this. This was written by Michael Patrick King.
That's right.
Was it really?
I believe so.
All right, let's jump in here.
Jump us in, John.
Yeah. The through line of the episode was expectations, specifically Carrie's relationship with Berger, her sexpectations. She just asked the question, when we're older, are we just waiting for the shoe to drop? She had a really clever Jewish pun in there somewhere. And she said, why is it always something? Or is it always something?
Right.
The different stories were, of course, Charlotte announced at the first chat and chew that she is going to become Jewish. And it was her process of winning over the rabbi to accept her into the Jewish faith. And Harry said, you know, it's a game that you got to play. She was very confident in her ability to play the game. With Miranda, the story had to do with her TiVo. TiVo was her her significant in this episode, specifically the show Jules and Mimi. And Magda sat on the TiVo remote, erased her shows, and she was pretty frustrated by that. Samantha wanted to hook up with the waiter at the restaurant Raw, and there was like a little bit of a last one to make it goes home with them scenario, and she ended up hooking up with the waiter at Raw. And lastly, Carrie and Berger hooked up and did not have passionate hot sex. And she was very worried that they weren't going to work out together because everything else works in other parts of the relationship. So she was working through being with someone that she really liked, in which she did not have super passionate, hot sex with. Where do you guys want to start?
I do want to start by saying it's actually, I can't tell exactly who, but I think it's a Cindy Shupack written episode. It's a Michael Patrick King directed episode.
Okay.
Just want to give credit where credit is due. Packed.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure she wrote it. There's like five writers on the IMDb credit, but I think it's like her and Darren Star. I think it's maybe just her. Anyway.
I want to start sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
Well, I got a little more trivia here too, because I looked up Jules and Mimi
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that comes up is a show called Bob and Rose. It says Bob and Rose is a British television drama originally screened 6 1-hour episodes on ITV, blah, blah, blah. It was produced by this. Bob and Rose was the inspiration for Jules and Mimi, the fictional British TV show featured in Sex and the City.
Oh. I was wondering that when they showed Jules and Mimi, because I love that in other shows where they have fake shows.
Oh, yeah.
It's great because they like cast a show within a show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So listen to this. The original, the person that the guy created before this, he created the British version, the original Queer as Folk. And then his show after that was Bob and Rose.
Hmm. Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Did you guys think that I thought the story with, I'm glad we're talking about Miranda first, because I think that was probably the weakest storyline.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like we've seen it before where one of them falls in love with an inanimate object, like Charlotte falling in love with the rabbit. This is kind of like another play on this, using the TiVo to replace a boyfriend. But did you think that
it was just weird? It was weird. I never thought that even feel comfortable to use a TiVo to masturbate yourself. Seems so painful.
That's true.
It's so big.
Did you guys think that Jules and Mimi felt like a porn? Like, I thought it was going to end up just being like hardcore porn when she came over and he was like, it's yeah. sweaty in here. Come into the bedroom. I was like, this is log jamming.
Log jamming actually from? What is that reference?
Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he answered the door shirtless. It definitely felt like that. Totally. Yeah.
Well, that's where it would be interesting to see what that show was. But I mean, I feel like the angle is daytime soap opera, though. I think it was more that.
Oh, okay.
Like, do you remember like, you know, like Days of Our Lives or whatever?
Right.
Were they toying with like the idea that she was becoming like the old woman who just like, I love my stories. I just watch my stories. Like, leave me alone.
I'm watching my program. I kind of felt like it was like that. I felt like it was like that, but not as much like old woman who watches her stories, but just like, it's almost like when people get super into like Grey's Anatomy or whatever, and they're just like, oh my gosh, I live for this. I live for what's going on with this. Like less like I need to watch this, but like that was her life now, is watching like nighttime TV and like living through the love story arcs in that.
As someone who's recording a podcast with two of his friends about a TV show, I can certainly relate.
Basically, that's us for the past 2 years.
I couldn't help but wonder. I feel like this is just now it was the weakest of the four, but I will say that this would be a completely kind of whatever throwaway storyline if it weren't for the fact that there's like a tiny bit of pathos and tragedy to it, because she really loves Steve and she can't tell him. So she's burying herself in television, not because it's like, oh, I'm like getting older, blah, blah, blah. It's to make up for the fact that she's really pained that her relationship with Steve isn't going well. So I didn't love the storyline until Steve was there and it was like, oh man, she's like Miranda. I feel like in this moment is like very much trying to escape her reality, usually she's like, whatever, I eat cake out of the trash can. I don't care.
Yeah.
But right now you could feel like she's kind of on the cusp of breaking down and crying with one of her friends and being like, I love Steve. Like in the last episode.
Yeah. I would be really interested to see what like the Every Outfit women would say about this version of Miranda. This version of Miranda does feel like a little bit of a lesser version of like the strong modern woman that we've seen in the first 5 seasons.
She's like a little checked out right now. And
but then again, maybe the response is like, why? She can just do whatever the hell she wants. If she wants to sit at home and watch TV, that's great too. But like, it seems like she's running away from her problems, which
I think the fact that you know her interior life, like if it was just like, hey, look, she has like a very high powered job and she's a mom, like, yeah, she wants to come home and watch TV. Nothing wrong with that. But the fact that you know that she's like just a week or two ago, she told the father of her child, she wanted to say, I love you. And then she couldn't because he's now dating someone. Like the fact that you know that she's living in some sort of conflict and kind of just being like, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to watch TV. Like that. Yeah. I think that's like not her rising to the occasion in the sense that like she's usually like a killer, you know?
Yeah.
Like she like totally. Goes all in. Yeah. So I think you're right. And that she's like kind of sitting back a little bit.
It's also interesting because she like won't even talk about it with Carrie too. Like when Carrie's trying to have conversations with us, she's like, don't even mention Steve. And it's like, it's just a little weird. It's weird for me.
It's weird for me.
She's heartbroken right now.
Yeah. It's just, I'm used to seeing power Miranda, you know?
Yeah. We all are. Power Miranda, power suit Miranda, power everything Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, the thing when she said, when he fixed her TiVo and then she was like, I love you. I mean, for doing this, like that was like such a, you know, real like trip up moment. And you can kind of tell that he, whether he has feelings for her now or not, he is trying to like kind of play that back. Just be like, yeah, no, it's I gotta go to a dinner thing. It's cool.
Do you think we're gonna meet his girlfriend?
Gosh, I hope so.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't really remember his other girlfriend, the one that he was double dating with Aiden. I remember her a little bit actually. But I'd love to see the other kind of women that Steve attracts.
Oh man, just probably like do you think he just goes for like a diehard Rangers or Knicks fan and they just go to all the sporting games together?
I feel like he's got to have one girl that's just like from Rochester, super hardcore New York sports fan, just like gets a little too drunk and like yells at some guy in the section next to them. I feel like he's like, yeah, I mean, you know, Katie is you know, she's a sweet girl, but like you get a couple in it, she's a bruiser. You know, it's like you got to watch it.
She has a tramp stamp that's just like a giant like Rangers.
Yeah.
Rangers thing.
That's funny.
Man.
She has a tramp stamp that is that green right off the highway road sign that just says Welcome to Brooklyn, forget about it. That's like her tramp stamp. Yeah. It's just like that giant road sign.
I will say that of all of the sports fans in New York City, out of Nets, Mets, Yankees, Knicks, and then the hockey teams,
don't forget MLS.
They're in New Jersey. They play in New Jersey.
So do the Jets.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
Giants, Red Bulls.
So do the Giants. The Giants play.
I know.
In
I don't count. I don't count them because you don't interact with their giant fanhood walking out of the stadium. What I was going to say is the Rangers fans leaving Barclays Center are the rowdiest and most craziest of all of the fans.
And also, when you see the Islanders play, you were saying the Rangers.
Islanders
play at the Barclays Center, but the Rangers fans walking out of Madison Square Garden was it you and I, Kevin, that walked out of past the Islanders one night and we saw two guys get in a fight and go to the ground outside the Barclays Center and it happened.
Oh, I don't know.
It was me and somebody else. Cause I used to live right by the Barclays Center and just watch two guys go to the ground. And then a guy came up and it was that thing when someone gets out of a fight where they're not like mad out of their mind. They're more just like happy where he's like, that was crazy. And I was just like, he was just fighting for sport.
Yeah.
Well, I remember at that time we got up, we thought it was two dudes. Then they got up. We're like, oh, those are two girls. And you looked at me and you're like, those are definitely people Steve would be dating.
Yeah, totally. Exactly.
Those are two of Steve's potential girlfriends.
Let's talk about Samantha. And do you guys know? Do you know?
Do we know what?
Do we know what?
That's why I'm asking. Like do you know?
I know.
This episode. Corey, do you know?
I know.
All right. So they never mentioned it, but I think that's Smith. That's Smith Jarrett.
Oh, I know. I know.
I knew that the second that he showed, because everyone's talked about him. Like, he's clearly the best looking guy who's been on the show.
Yeah.
He is
an absolute specimen. I actually looked him up, and the first article you get with Smith Jarrett is like, is it possible that Smith Jarrett is actually hotter now in old age than he was then? And it might be true. He is a gorgeous. Currently, he is I don't know. You might just have a Corona mask on, but he is a gorgeous human being. Holy shit.
I mean, do you think
what a fucking stud?
Yeah. Wait, how are you looking him up right now?
I just typed in. Smith.
I'm on Pornhub.
I just typed in Smith Jarrett.
That's not Smith Jarrett.
Oh, sorry. Wow, what an absolute stud!
What a dreamboat! But yeah, this is they don't mention his name, and so
Jason Lewis.
I was talking to Katie. I was like, I think that's Smith Jarrett. She's like, that's not Smith Jarrett, and she's like, that's 100% not Smith Jarrett. And I was like, I think that's Smith Jarrett. And it was,
wait, was Katie just trying to throw you off?
She was trying to scatter the scent a little bit.
Nah, can't scatter that scent.
No. But that's Smith, and I loved that storyline. When they were in Raw.
Wait, what was the name of the restaurant again?
Raw.
Did you notice the really bad music they were playing?
Yes.
When they were in there. So it's because they could not get to the right. They couldn't get the rights to the actual song for the restaurant.
Baby, I like it raw. Baby, I like it raw.
It was Old Dirty Bastard recorded Shimmy Shimmy Ya.
Yo, yippee yo.
He's like,
ya,
shimmy yo. Grind up some cactus. Let me take it away. I'm going to eat beets. I'm going to eat fruits. I'm going to eat anything, but don't cook it up, you kook. It's just, that was what raw was.
Yeah.
That's when rappers first started getting into making other businesses. Totally. Yeah.
Do you think that we have a lot we can cover with this? But one thing I would say is when they said she had a lot of raw food and then she had raw sex, that's one of the first times they very, very, very specifically showed a condom.
Condoms everywhere. Yeah.
Yes, everywhere.
Like one and got stuck so funny to her face or the back of her hand.
Her arm. Yeah.
Raw sex means no condom.
Yeah.
So did they just? So I guess, yeah, good point.
I bet they were in the writers' room and they're like, if we use that line, which we love that line, yeah. But if we use it,
we love that line.
People are gonna think we're promoting unprotected sex, and we cannot do that.
Yeah, right though. That is 100% why they have to do that.
Yeah, probably right. Is that how that? Like, is that like how the writing room works?
Oh, we're Kevin just is right now
showing us
Kevin's
a picture.
Just showing us a picture of Smith Jarrett currently. And
Corey just lost Too Hot to Handle when I showed it to him. Yeah.
I just lost $100,000.
Man, I would give up a lot of things in my, I would sacrifice a lot to wake up tomorrow and look like that.
Dude, his face. Okay. Look at that picture Kevin just showed us. Imagine his face. His face looks like when you look at like a copperhead snake's face. Mm. Mm-hmm. Like it's just that pointed and the eyes are so focused.
Oh man.
It's like he looks like a beautiful snake, like a beautiful copperhead or a beautiful cobra.
What's his name? Wait, what's his actor's name?
Jason Lewis.
Come on.
This fucking poser trying to get in on the elephant game.
Yeah, Jason, sit down.
Jason, sit down. Everyone knows that's Kristen Davis's territory. Yeah. Get out of here.
We got to get Jason Lewis on the show and just oogle at him for 45 minutes straight.
We need to get him on a video podcast.
What's
for
your
sure.
routine? What's your diet? What's your skincare situation looking like? Like, we want to wake up tomorrow and look like you, Jason.
Oh, dude.
First things first, genetics. First, I can't help you.
Let's have a conversation
with
your parents.
When you are that good looking, there is a thing, though, that it's like, I've had a few friends that, like, They're nice, they're good guys, but there is something that it's like, just since it is so purely genetic, it's not just like, oh, you've lost weight, you're looking great. Like, and they've heard it enough that they kind of know that they're good looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
it's
what
the
I mean?
Same like, deal. They kind yeah, of, totally.
Yeah.
It's that same thing where it goes both ways for men and women, but like anytime you meet a really attractive person with a great personality, you're like, oh, they've tapped into some other sort of thing where they didn't just have to get by in life where people are like, hey man, yeah, you can, hey, listen, it's full in here, but just come in without a ticket. Get in here. Come on. You're fine. Like they didn't have to just cash in on looking great. And like, listen, they didn't ask for that. People are, you know, just more attractive people just get passes in life. It just happens.
Yeah. Which is great. Good for them. I mean
sure, whatever.
If I had looks like that, I would utilize it to the max.
I would take it. You know, other people get it other ways.
I have been, and I'll say, like, that's why I've worked so hard on my personality as well, just because I don't look at it as an affliction. I look at it as an opportunity.
Yeah. And yeah. Kevin, you have the looks, the personality, and the laugh. You're a triple threat. So I love that scene where they were all waiting it out. And when Samantha went up to the last woman and was like, "You put up a good fight, sweetie. Like, let me just buy your dinner and get out of here because I'm going home." I love that that lady just fucking buckled. She's just like, "All right."
Yeah.
It was such good writing.
It's funny too, because that woman, it's like, "Hey man," that lady was also just like, "Free meal? Cool, I'm in."
Yeah.
She's like,
sex can't be that great. Little did she know. Little did she know that Smith Jarrett knows the Texas oil drill.
Is that what that one was?
I don't know.
Oh god.
That one of those, there was definitely two of those that I was just like, yeah.
That was one that I was like, that's just aesthetic right there.
Well, there are just certain times you hear, like, it's like, listen, I like getting off as much as the next guy. I would think probably more than the next guy. If John's the next guy, I know more than the next guy because we've talked about it. I have a little bigger sex drive than you. But there is a certain point that I'm looking at things and I'm like, really? Like, whenever Sting was like, "I've had sex for 24 hours straight," I'm like, really? I feel like a half hour is fine, bro. Like,
yeah.
And there was like, there were all those positions. I was just like, I don't know. Maybe one of those positions seems kind of fun for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
But is it worth the neck ache?
Yeah. I mean, that was like, there was a lot of Cirque du Soleil going on in that. Yeah, it was tough. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they needed to show that. And that was by far the most gratuitous sex scene we've had in the show. By far. Yeah. That one.
I don't know what pile else. Driver.
Where is his fucking dick?
I don't know. We're looking at the position where it looks like he's just taking a shit inside of her.
It's definitely.
Oh man,
it's weird. It's weird for me.
It's weird.
It looks
for
like
us
the
all.
Cover. It looks like an artsy cover of a David Bowie album. Yeah. If they had clothes on, that's just like.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even look sexual. It just looks like people.
Is that,
in like
is that
a
Kim
weird
Cattrall
shape.
Or Marina Abramovich? I can't really tell. Yeah. But they needed to show that, of course, to compare it to the boring sex that Berger and Carrier had, which I think they equally did an incredible job showing the most boring sex ever, highlighted by what I thought was genius, the M11 bus.
One of the best cameos we've had, dude, in the whole series is the M11 bus.
When they're laying there and you just hear the bus stop after her talking about the M11, it's just like, man, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Sounds of the city, man. Yeah.
I mean, we usually don't go, I will say they did a pretty good job at, without making it fully. Like armpit goof banana peel, mm-hmm. like total goof bag. Mm-hmm. They definitely did a good job at being like, yeah, they're just having some not great sex right here. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I could imagine based on the relationship, it'd get a little too like, oh, and it was awkward. It was like, you're overplaying this. It was quiet enough and everything that it was like, yeesh.
Yeah, they brought the palpable awkwardness of just like, even when Carrie talked about how quiet was, you're just like, oof. All yeah. right, so not only quiet, just like zero connection.
Yeah, I got to ask you guys, and I'm going to pick on you guys all here for still being in the dating scene. What happens if you're in a situation like that? If you meet someone and you hook up and the sex is not, it's lackluster, what's the play?
Well, John, I'll let you know when that happens, bro. I mean, it's the thing, man. When you're batting 1,000 all the time, bro. Hey, listen. it's Cocky Steve. Nobody asked Mark McGuire what it was like when he was hitting it out of the park every time, you know?
Wait, go ahead,
except
Kevin.
For Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
And Sammy Sosa. And then Sammy Sosa pulled that whole thing where he turned his skin white. And so then the story turned to him. You know?
He was stuffing bats harder than Jarrett was stuffing Samantha, right?
Oof. Yeah, totally.
I would say just in general, I think like, you gotta go, I feel like you have to go through it in order to realize like some of the, like everybody along the way is just like, sex is usually better the more you know a person. Like yeah. most people say that. And most people are like, yeah, one night stands and like the quick just hooking up thing, either it goes well or it doesn't, or it gets old at some point, or it turns into a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I would say having not great sex with a stranger is not as fun as having whatever not great sex with someone you know, because you're like, well, this was the point. How can then you're just playing a game like, how can you, what, like after you come, then it's just like, how do I get this person out of my house, or how do I get back from Bushwick? What's the quick, how, like,
yeah, but that still doesn't answer the question. The question that I posed is,
what's your question?
Like you're comparing not great sex with a partner versus not great sex with a stranger. And you said, of course, not great sex is with a partner, but how important is great sex in a partnership? Like if you are looking for a partner,
I mean, it's funny because I think we could pose it back to you after the discussion, because you're the only one of us who is legally partnered. But I feel like you want, you know,
or illegally partnered.
Dude, when we got, I've never shared this online, but when we got married, we got our marriage license in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
They slid us a piece of paper and we had to sign it that we legally were not related to one another.
Really?
Yeah, I guess that's a problem there. But that, for some reason, that just made me think of that. Like we were like getting our marriage certificate and they're like, do you have like the signed document? We're like, yeah. And they're like, oh, one last thing. And they're like, you guys brother and sister? And we're like, no. And they're like, all right, you're good.
Anyway. Wait, did they just slide your document?
I would have never guessed that it was a, I would have never guessed that it was a problem based on the 100 years of stereotypes about Kentucky.
But they actually slid you a thing. You're like, you got to fill this out too and sign this. It wasn't just a side like, hey man, by the way, listen, dude.
What does it have to be? Second cousins? Is that the,
I think so.
Cousins,
I'm,
the limit?
I'm not sure.
Some places cousins is legal.
Yeah.
Well, outside of marrying cousins, that's another episode. That's episode 3. Carrie, Samantha, I think Samantha finds out that Smith Jarrett is her first cousin. I think it happens episode 3.
Here's my take on sex.
I was going to say, like, I think real quick before you do your take, I think coming from a place where I'm not, you know, like lifetime partnered with someone, I would be like, everyone's always like, well, what if it's not good? You know, like, what do you do? And like, I think that it's definitely, I think anytime anyone's like, not an important part, I don't agree with that. I think it is an important part of things, but I also feel like it's Miranda, I think, makes the argument to her that it's like, you can work at it and it's not always perfect. And I have enough friends who are married that are like, and also like, you know, we have a lot of friends. I think all three of us have a lot of friends that got married super young.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, it's like, maybe the first person they've ever slept with or whatever. And so, yeah, I think that, I don't think it's like a defining, like if it's not fireworks, if you're not doing the Texas oil driller on night one, you know, then it's like, that's fine.
I would advise against it.
Yeah.
For safety reasons.
Like, yeah, I think there are a lot of components that make up an amazing relationship. And I think it would be foolish to say sex is not one of those components, but it is not all of the components. And I think our culture specifically unevenly and unfairly weighs sex as a way more important component than other things. It's like looks and sex are the two most like defining things that will make a relationship lasting. And that's, I think, foolish. Like there's so many things that necessitate an entire relationship. Like, you think Smith Jarrett's going to be at an oil drill when he's like 72 years old? No chance in hell.
I actually just saw pictures of how he looks now. I think he'll be fine.
Okay, yeah, he'll be fine. No. But
no, I'm kidding.
Sex is important, but like there's so many other things that make up a relationship that need to be rock solid in order for that relationship to be great. And I'm not that old, but I can imagine when you get to be 75, 80. Although I did hear that in nursing homes, there's like rampant amounts of STDs that go around.
Yeah,
that's but true.
Like
yeah.
That part of your body will fail eventually. And like, you know, you have to have something more there. So that's my hot take.
What's the law you said, John? Law of diminishing returns?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it the other, I forget what we were talking about on a, but.
I use that to defend how fast I eat. Everyone's like, you eat so fast, you're not enjoying it. And I'm like, actually, yeah,
you have done that before.
Let's talk about economics. I'm enjoying it more. But yeah.
But who were we talking about? You were talking about playmates. Because you're like, if you're banging another playmate every, there's some specific person I feel like we were talking about, but whatever. Law of diminishing returns, I feel like is not always true, but that's like one of the arguments for like a relationship because the emotion, like that's one of the special things about love and relationships and investing more is that is a place that if you invest in the right places, you actually can get more out of something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whereas looks and just like, sorry to be too, we can be crude on here, but like I'm saying it not to be crude jokingly, but it's like literally just the act of coming. Like at a certain point, like you do that enough. And it's like, even the actual best sex I think I've ever had in my life still was not within a very long-term relationship and got old within like 2 months. I was already like, oh, cause I don't see there being a future here. Mm-hmm. And so it was already like, and that was just quickly within 2 months being like, man, this is crazy. This is awesome. Being like, I don't know, like there's only so much that can do. Mm-hmm. And that you end up wanting more of a connect. And then Corey and I had a long conversation on Saturday about stuff that had to do with this of kind of like, about just what we look for in relationships and what, I don't know, what our culture, I guess what people think will satisfy them within when it's just sex or
porn
or just something like that. Like pretty quickly is like, okay, like there's other, that's just another thing to do during the day, to be honest.
You see,
there's no connection there.
You see the Beijing fireworks at the 2008 Olympics the first time, it's going to be incredible. You watch those things amazing. Every single night for 40 years. At some point, they're not going to be as spectacular.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Listen, all three of us have eaten really expensive caviar before.
Yeah.
It was great. But, you know, and it was a gift. But eat that every day.
Obviously this completely takes the intimacy out of it, but it's like, imagine, like, it's so easy to have fantasies about like famous people. Isn't it funny to think about, like, honestly, what happened if you were just like your whole life, you're just like, man, you know, who's on my list? Scarlett Johansson. If I ever saw her, like, and I had a chance, it's like, I feel like once you got there, you, first of all, Colin Jost would be mad, but no, whoever your like celebrity person was, then once you're in the act of actually having sex and the smells and the juices and all of the weirdness that goes along with it, you'd be like, oh, it's not just going to be you performing at a high level with fucking Carmen Electra just nailing it. It's going
to
be weird.
Thank you for bringing up Carmen Electra. That reverts back to a really
mid-90s Carmen Electra.
A very specific time when you were 12 years old jerking it to Carmen Electra.
Also, dude, it's funny if you put that same guy that you just did, that character of like, you know who I
Dennis
would want
Rodman.
To do it with? If you put him with, if you just like throw in different people, he's like, you know who I would love to do it with? Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
You just throw in random different people and it's like, that's someone's thing. But no,
Liv Tyler? Are you kidding?
No, Steven Tyler. That's who I want. I want Steven Tyler. I want him to choke me with all those scarves. But like, but no, I will say this real quick. I brought up the caviar thing because we all had a time where we randomly had a bunch of exquisite caviar that was given to us as a gift. Not just that we're just constantly munching on caviar, but there is a thing where it's like law of diminishing returns. Like you, even if you're with a person that you're really in love with, like I feel like sex over time is, I would think, in like a long, years long partnership or marriage, is like used for different reasons too. Like there are times where it's just like purely crazy Texas oil driller erotic. And then there's like probably other times where it's just like, it's a point of connection. It's a point when you like don't like each other to like probably bring you back together. Like there are like a lot of different reasons for it. And yeah. And I think that you're right, John, like people, I think in our society look at it as very one dimensional sometimes. And they're just totally. Like, it's gotta be hot. It's gotta be insanely transcendent. It's gotta be crazy. You gotta bring in a third person and then a fourth person and then a fifth person.
Which is fine if that's your thing, but
hey, bring them all in.
Eventually those five people will no longer be novel and you have to figure out what you want to do with yourself at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that is the thing. Like I know for sure that I would not want to be in an open relationship. I can't imagine being able to handle that with another person, and I wouldn't be able to handle myself with the person I care about. Cause I'm sure like this gets boring. It'd be fun to fuck other hot people, but I'm like, it's enough work to try and fuck one person.
Yeah.
And be in a relationship, let alone like, I don't know, spending your time, like getting a date going. Like it's too much to think about. I don't think I would enjoy it. But then also even for people that do love that lifestyle, I do think that there is something that when you don't take it, it's not right, it's not wrong, it's just a different thing. And you look at it that way, that is just not, I don't want some transcendent love that's magical. That's like, I need what John and Katie have times 50, the best sex, and we need to never have financial problems. Like, I really would want that. All of that energy put towards other random sexual connections, I would want that pointed towards a person, like a stronger laser beam towards that person, even if it's more difficult. And I don't think I would necessarily say that if I hadn't spent a little more time, I don't know, kind of like sowing some more wild oats than I had planned to when I was like 25. That it's, you know, it's like you get some good times, you get some bad, weird times, you know, you have the, and then I see sex a little more for what it is in a way that, I don't know, makes it more special and less special at the same time, depending on who it's with.
Yeah.
Did that make no sense or
no,
some sense?
That made a ton of sense. You
were frozen on the Zoom the entire time. What'd you say? No,
about wanting to fuck Smith, Jarrett, and then we lost you since then.
The last thing you said is you were talking about how the Jets don't play in New York; they play in New Jersey. I haven't heard anything for 25 minutes.
It's been. But Corey and I've had a great conversation.
John and I have been
You just missed me giving the play-by-play of how I really wanted to be on the other side of the Texas oil drill, just once.
Let's finish with talking about Charlotte and Harry. I really love that. I like that storyline a lot.
I do too. It's funny because like the discussion we're having now about sex, like Charlotte is trying to go for, she's trying to go for the thing of like, I want to change, not really change who I am, but I want to like do what I can for this other person because I want to be with them. And they're in a place where, since we're talking about sex, like they both agree that it's like really good, but she's also trying to get that other aspect of relational thing. She's like, I want to sacrifice for you so that we can lock this down. And I do feel like their portrayal of New York Judaism is so funny, how it's just like, they're like, we're not interested. They just shut the door in her face multiple times. And then he's like, oh, that's what they do. It's playing hard to get.
Yeah.
Judaism is just the easiest. It's like such a fine line because it's the easiest religion to make fun of and to have fun with. And they're also the easiest group to like, I think they have a better sense of humor about their religion than like Catholics or Islam or certain types of Christianity. Pretty good sense of humor about it. And then also it's always like whenever something's so intensely Jewish, I'm always like, is this going to take a weird anti-Semitic turn without me realizing it real quick?
But like, then also what's really funny is you think about those scenes that were shot. Think of the number of Jewish people that signed off getting that on air. Like, it's like 75% of the people were probably like, oh yeah, like a lot of the writers have Jewish, a lot of the producers at HBO, like it's just there's so many a different, Jewish people in
this
comedy.
This is great because it was a different type of Jewish storyline that I don't think you usually get. I don't think you usually get the conversion storyline and the outsider person. Like most people in the country are fill-ins for Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And usually it's like you're dropped into Jewish humor or a Jewish storyline and you're like, okay, like I think I can follow along, but there's not like a person who doesn't get it that can be your avatar by being like, that's so funny. That's great.
Have you all ever known anyone that's completely converted religions for someone else
or religion?
Any religion in general? Like what are your thoughts on changing your religious beliefs for another person?
That's a good question. I know people who dated, like I have two friends who are dating, who've dated for a while now, for like years. And the guy was Episcopalian and the girl was like, I'm not an atheist. I believe in something. And she's like, to be honest, this is kind of interesting to me. And she ended up meeting with the priest or the rector, whatever it is, church, and talked to the rector. And she was like, here's the thing. Like I'm interested in this, but I don't feel like I'm like one of you. And the rector was like, he's like, just you saying like you have some sort of interest in faith. He's like, you're here. Like if you want to come here and be interested in this, then like go for it. And then she has like since like been pretty involved there because she was like, okay, cool. I'm interested in this. I love this person. I feel accepted here. Mm-hmm. So like, but I don't feel like she had the same experience coming to it as the guy, but I'm trying to think of anyone. I don't think I know anyone that's like converted to Judaism. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
My dad was Catholic and my mom was, and my grandparents almost didn't come to their wedding cause it wasn't a Catholic wedding. And my dad was like, chose to be Protestant after that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I guess maybe more as an adult, the more exposed to other religions and other faiths, I could imagine that more. But I remember growing up, I was like, what's a big deal? Jeez. But it was a big deal for my grandparents for them to have a Catholic wedding. And since they didn't, like, it was like very controversial within the family.
Do you guys think it makes a difference? Do you think it makes a difference if someone believes one thing and another person believes a different thing and they hold those separately? Do you think agreeing in that, whether they hold it separately or not, do you think them being on the same page about that makes a difference?
I think the question more is when you start like, when you start a relationship with someone, you want to have as many alliances with that person as possible because areas in which you don't cause friction. So it's like, no, I don't think it necessarily matters. But then if you build a family and if you have children, and then that becomes a point of friction because how do you raise them? Like who gets to bring the kids to what service and what denomination? And if it's like something that's equally important to you where it's like, I'm Jewish and I'm Protestant and these are important. I want to raise my kids Jewish. I want to raise our kids Protestant. And it's like that becomes a point of tension in your relationship. So no, I don't think it's an issue, but yes, I do think it could cause potential problems. Does that make sense?
I also think with this is like a great example. I think of like when you're in like people extrapolate like singular situations that of people that make the thing work to apply to their life. If they more than like the general wisdom is like, you got to be within the same ballpark or you got to be where Charlotte is to be like, he's clear with himself to be like, listen, this is important to me. Mm-hmm. And so she's like taking steps. So that counts within that. But I feel like there's a lot of times I'll hear of people that it's like, I think it's a pretty obvious thing that it's like, you got to be somewhere on the same page with the faith. And then sometimes people will force things to make work with someone by being like, but I know this one couple that blah, blah, blah.
Right.
When it's not working, but those people, that other couple, even if it's like they're Jewish and they're Catholic, they still may have an arrangement that it they're still meeting on a level of expectations depending on what that is. And it still works for them. Like it's not a, a friction based thing for them. Yeah. So I've seen it not work and I've seen it work. I think it's like an expectations thing. That's why I think Charlotte and Harry are actually really good right now.
Yeah.
Because he's been clear enough with her once he got in to know that like, if she wasn't taking these steps, then he would be like, listen, this is not going to work. And she knows that.
Yeah.
And so they really are, even though she's going to convert and it's not a perfect setup, they're kind of like a pretty great example of how two faiths could come together.
He really is like the opposite of big. He's like, this is what I want. This is what I expect. If it doesn't, like, if you like, it just is what it is. I love you. I want you, but I need this from you. And if not, I got to go. And that's like, you can see how healthy that is versus someone who's just like a cigar smoking with scotch drinking loof bubbling his way through a city.
He's very clear about all that stuff, but it's interesting because you're right. He's clear, but he is also clear about like, I really like you. Like he's not going to be like, and if this doesn't happen for like, maybe forget it. But he is like, oh, I really want this, but these are the things that I need.
Mm-hmm.
There's a strong communication in there.
I need a legal contract. I need some schmear on my face and I need you, Charlotte. That's it.
Yep. And I need this.
I love two things, the Torah and your vagina. Come on over here.
Come on.
Sit on this. Do you guys know what a schmuck is?
Yeah, it's a penis.
No,
it's not. That's a putz. What's a schmuck?
A schmuck is the foreskin after the circumcision.
Mm.
It's the cut off. Isn't that make it such a better insult to call someone a schmuck? Like it sounds like way more like, that guy's like such a goofball. And really, I'm like, that's such a good insult to call someone a schmuck.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's fucking disgusting. That Harry's not a schmuck.
No.
Or a putz.
No.
He's a mensch.
He is a mensch. Awesome. Let's do a Cosmo rating for this episode.
Yeah, let's do it.
Where are we at? I'm gonna think. All right, I'm processing.
Okay, let's just real quick because we get in these discussions. I'm processing. We met Smith Jared.
Allegedly, we didn't get his name yet. We don't know how significant he is.
We met this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Miranda and the TiVo.
Miranda Charlotte and TiVo. Charlotte and him, and then
I got my rating.
Carrie and
I got one.
I got one.
3, 2, 1. 3.75. Ooh, I went really low. I gave it a 3.0. This episode was like so much about the bad. I don't know. It just felt like a downer episode to me. Like it wasn't super slapsticky. It wasn't fun. There was like I liked Samantha's storyline with like, I loved the scene where she was like outlasting the women in Rawbar. I've said that like 10 times, but the Charlotte one felt pretty serious. The Miranda one was like she got upset that her TiVo was sat on by Magda. And then Carrie was just kind of a bummer in all episode because she was really processing whether or not she can get along with Berger, who I think it's unfair to this episode, but I also have a really bad, I'm in a bad headspace about Berger. I know so many people hate him. So whenever I watch him on screen, I'm like, I shouldn't like this guy. I shouldn't enjoy the scene and it takes me away from a little bit. So that's like a little bit of a bummer, but I got to go. I got to stick to 3.0 with this one. Not my favorite.
I gave a 3.75. I liked the Charlotte Harry episode or storyline. I think that it's well done and I think it's interesting. And I think like if it's a horse race, I really do think Charlotte is like in the lead for just like one of the more interesting storylines. This episode didn't necessarily have the laughs. I think you're right that it's kind of a frustrating thing. I really like got to call out our listeners here. You've really tilted. You haven't spoiled anything, but really the Berger hate is really, it's making me not be in the moment with those scenes. And maybe that's for the scenes. And maybe it's like, I'm always being like, when's he going to do something that's really going to make me hate him? And I'm like, right now, I'm like, I don't know. I kind of wish I could just like enjoy that storyline. So shame on you. No, I'm kidding. It's not just our listeners. It's literally like you hear so much. I just wonder why he elicits such strong reactions, because he hasn't even been that flaky besides not. They mentioned that he didn't really call, but I don't know. That's like half of Big's whole thing.
Yeah.
The TiVo thing was not great. The Steve part I thought was interesting. And overall, yeah, 3.75, which I think is kind of low for me. And I feel like maybe I could have gone a little lower, but I'm satisfied.
I give it a 4.0. It might be because I'm reacting so strongly to the last episode where y'all gave it like such high numbers and I went really low. And now I'm like, oh gosh. But I do feel like it was a solid episode in the sense that, like, not going to be a super memorable one, but we know we meet some new guy who we know is Smith Jarrett, yeah, even if we didn't know at the
that's
time.
True.
Like,
it's
a pivotal thing for Samantha, which, from what we know a little bit, that's a very pivotal thing in her story. And love to see Magda again. Hadn't seen her in a bit. So love Lynn Cohen. And I feel like we're getting a little bit of burger heat sizzling up on the grill. The thing about Burger, this is a bigger discussion for later, but I wonder if the thing that's annoying about him is you can't ever really get a handle on him. Like, he's kind of never making it work, but he's never really doing anything bad. But it's like, what is he doing? He's, you know, like, he's kind of in the middle the whole time. So, but yeah, 4.0. I felt like it was solid. And I think, I guess the biggest moments out of it would be Smith Jared,
just Miranda
saying,
her.
I love pile driving her. And then Miranda telling Steve she loved him, but then having to backpedal and just more great Charlotte and Harry stuff. They make me so happy. They're great. Yeah.
What about, real quick, Corey, where was that burger place? Do you know where that burger place was?
Is it Five Napkins?
I thought maybe it was.
I don't know that. We can look that up and see. I don't know. If you know what hamburger place they're at, please let us know.
Real quick. Yeah. Last thing, best burger in New York. If you have to, like, we've been in quarantine right now. You get to go out and eat a burger at one place. Where do you go?
I got my place.
Corey, what is
Corner
it?
Bistro. Corner Bistro, West Village.
Kevin?
You got to get fries too, though.
Actually, you could
do two. You could do a high and a low if you want. Do a high and a low.
Like the best burger and the shittiest burger?
You know that I can never pick one thing.
There's a really good on Broom Street. What's this place called?
Ken's Broom Street Bar. Ken's Broom Street Bar.
No, they have a good burger. No, it's like a little bougier place, but the way they do their buns is really good.
John, what about you? While Kevin's looking,
Corner Bistro.
Heck yeah.
Gotta go Corner B.
Really?
Yeah.
Corner Bistro is overrated.
That's fine.
I will get in that argument with you because I read some hip food blog that said the same thing. And then I like did some research and I was like, I'm not wrong. Everyone else but that food blog says it. I mean, it's all opinion. I think if you want to go new school, go to Superiority Burger. It's an amazing place in the East Village.
Kevin, while you're looking that up, I want to share with all the listeners, we had a big milestone. We hit 10,000 followers on Instagram. So thank you, everyone, for following us.
Thank you so much.
We love all of you guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, obligatory, please leave us a review. Share us what you think we are in terms of Cosmo ratings. We hope it's a 5. But it might be a 2. And share a rating. Let us know why. Tell your friends. We love you all. Kevin, did you find it by now?
Yes. The Randolph.
I just really hope you say White Castle.
White Castle.
I'll say this.
Corey and I went to the coolest party of all time at a White Castle.
Yeah, the Wu-Tang Clan played there. And they rolled out the White Castle Impossible Slider. And it's very good. It was amazing. But wait, what's the Randolph?
It's like now they have one in Dumbo, too. So I guess, but it's just like, I had their burger one time and it was just like, it's right on, Broom Street, Broom and Allen, I think it is.
Okay.
And, just really solid, big old hunk of meat. It's just like a gastropub type place. But, when this is all done, we can go there. We can go give it a test.
We love you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Everyone stay safe. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cavan, John Sieber, and Kevin James Doyle. The show is produced by Jeremy L. Balin. For more information on the guys, check out their website at bradshawboys.com, on social media at The Bradshaw Boys, and if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.
Puppy.